Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog, the archives, the articles, all those things there, and lots of other things to come. I promise you, new stuff coming out. I've always been happy to tell you about our good friend Phil Holland and all the great things he does for entrepreneurs. He is an author. One of his books is called The Entrepreneur's Guide, and also How to Start a Business Without Quitting Your Job, and on and on. He's the founder of My Own Business, which is one of the greatest resources for entrepreneurs on the planet, maybe in the galaxy. And he's our good friend Phil Holland. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to talk to you.
It's always a pleasure to have you back with us, Phil. You know, you were telling me off the air about a trip that you just made. And we love it when our Brain Trust members go places, because we don't get to go that many places. We like it when our Brain Trust members to go on trips and they come back and they tell us if we have fun. We get to live vicariously through our Brain Trust members. And so would you mind telling us about what the trip you made and why you made it and what you found?
Well, it was very interesting. State Department asked me to write an article for their international journal last year, and because the topic was starting new businesses, they knew our website, myownbusiness.org, and we wrote the article. There was someone in the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Pretoria in South Africa, that read the article and invited me to come to South Africa to visit some cities and talk about the do's and don'ts of starting a business. So we were there and had a great time. The thing that we learned was that the disciplines that are important in starting a business really are the same everywhere. They're the same in South Africa as they are here. So the
challenges are a little different, though, aren't they?
In some cases, yeah. It's a society that where there is a huge number of people who are left out. But
even now.
Even now. But there is a growing current of well-educated people who are beginning to learn entrepreneurial skills. And I would think that the next 10, 20 years, there are going to be some huge advances in South Africa, due mainly to the formation of new small businesses.
And won't those businesses have an advantage and be able to flourish largely because of their ability to connect to the global marketplace over technology, through technology?
In some cases, because they're cost of labor and other items of business expense are lower there. But in many cases, it's simply businesses that are appropriate for local consumers.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we have found, and this opportunity exists in South Africa as well as it is, more so here perhaps, and I think that your audience would be more interested in there was an opportunity of buying a business today, I think, is presenting an outstanding opportunity for people in South Africa and in the States.
Hmm.
There are a couple of reasons. There are
buying an existing business?
Buying an existing business. There are a lot of motivated sellers, and these sellers today provide the basic source of financing for businesses. So we're beginning to look at that as an improving opportunity for people coming into business. More and more all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, when just last thoughts on South Africa, how did you find the marketplace there? How did you find just the general entrepreneurial soil? How fertile was it?
Well, they have a underpinning there of resources that are helping entrepreneurs, and the resources are in many cases government funded, and in many cases they're being held by other governments, including the U.S. The U.S. is not the only country that is interested in helping South Africa and other African nations come into the into the new century. But the government has been like the SBA in the States. Mm-hmm. The government in South Africa is hugely effective in providing resources and training for people going into business.
And even though what you found is not as good as it could be, we all have to recognize that compared to where it was 20 years ago, it's a huge leap, isn't it?
Yes, the last time I was in South Africa was during apartheid.
During apartheid, yeah, that was a miserable situation. Phil, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Phil Holland is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. It's 20 till. Little Steely Dan for you there. This is your big debut. It's like a dream come true. Little Peg for you. So won't you smile for a kid? Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Phil Holland, the founder of My Own Business. And that's myownbusiness.org, right, Phil?
Yes, that's correct.
That's the place you can go. If you're an entrepreneur or want to be, you need to know about that site. Phil, I love telling people about your site because it really is such a great resource. And the spirit behind it, your motivation, nothing short of absolute love and dedication for these wonderful people out here who make the world go round. These people that you and I basically worship. I know I do. Small business owners. The way you deliver all the things that you do for them is such an inspiration to me. And I want to thank you for making it available. And I certainly encourage anybody listening to my voice to check it out.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. We find that the activities that we have in My Own Business are really a great deal of fun, because what we communicate with people are not so much what to do, but the more important thing is the what not to do. I consider myself the world's number one authority on making mistakes as an entrepreneur.
And I won't argue with you, but I'm number two.
And having knowledge of where those pitfalls are is the focus that we have in all of the sessions in the course.
It's amazing how unreflective we are when we're successful, isn't it?
That's correct.
And you know, because when we're successful, Phil, we think it's because we're so smart. Mm-hmm. And when we fail, that's when we have time to reflect a little bit. And so be sure you don't lose those lessons when you fail, folks. Don't run away from those failures. Spend some time with those. But if you'll spend some time with Phil Holland at myownbusiness.org, you'll be more successful. Okay, Phil, I want to come back to what you were saying a minute ago about buying a business, an existing business. Getting a business in a box, so to speak, is a pretty darn good way to get a jump start on success, isn't it?
Well, yes, because what is happening is that there are a lot of small businesses that are family-owned where the kids no longer are interested in taking over the business. I'll give you one example. Here in California, we have hundreds and hundreds of donut shops that are run by Cambodian families that have immigrated here.
And you would know about the donut business, right?
Right. Well, the kids don't want to run those businesses. The kids are getting into computer technology.
That's right.
So there are I'm using that donuts as an example, but there are lots of businesses around where there are motivated sellers for all kinds of reasons, and these sellers provide built-in financing. Mm-hmm. They will finance the business where you can pay for it out of profits as you go along. So I think that it's important that anyone thinking about a business take a look into very carefully businesses for sale. Another thing about it is there are no call strikes. Take your time. Look at a lot of businesses, mm-hmm. but they're out there.
Well, they're not easy to find always, but if you'll take your time. And see, now what you're requiring, though, Phil, you're asking us to be patient. And when people want to own a business, they're not always patient, are they?
That's correct. But one tool is now available, which is a wonderful help in finding businesses, and that's the search engines. Mm-hmm. Go to any search engines and select a business you'd like to be in and put in your zip code. The local function of search engines is providing a terrific resource in seeking out finding businesses for sale.
And by the way, folks, we mentioned the donut thing a minute ago, and you're making me hungry now, Phil. Phil is the founder of the wildly successful chain of restaurants, the Yum Yum Donut Shops out in California, which is what you had and you've sold now because now you're helping entrepreneurs, aren't you?
That's correct.
Yeah. Phil, give us some advice on how to get started buying a business that someone else owns.
Of course, as I mentioned a moment ago, the search engines is going to surface them. I think it would be important in looking at businesses to look for businesses that have enduring economic qualities, where the potential profits into the future look pretty good, where it's not sensitive to price, where it's not something like a business where the cheapest person wins. Clearly, it's important to get into something you love to do, but and I think that the most important of all, perhaps, would be the suggestion: always have a lawyer and an accountant at your side. It's important to have a lawyer to look and help in all documentations in buying a business.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I'd like to point out and see if you agree with me, Phil, lawyers are important in the process. But I have found that the earlier you get them involved, or if you get them involved, I should say, in the negotiations too soon, sometimes they can be deal killers. What do you think?
That's true.
You have to be careful that you're the one buying the business. They're the one who's helping you. Don't let them run the deal. What do you think?
Right. It's like picking up a double-edged sword. In some instances, small lawyers whose practice is focused on small business can be usually helpful
right.
in the deal-making process.
Right.
Others, as you point out, can be deal killers.
Find the one that can be part of your team and part of the solution, not part of the problem. But if they give you good advice about when to run away, listen to them. Tintil, stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Phil Holland. His website is myownbusiness.org, and I certainly recommend it to you. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Phil Holland. He's helping us understand some of the important elements that we should consider when we're thinking about buying someone else's business. Not starting our own, but buying someone else's business. And by the way, I remind you, Phil's website is myownbusiness.org, and I'd like for you to check it out and consider it if you have a business or if you want to have a business. Phil, do you consider a franchise opportunity to be in the same category?
Not really.
Okay.
In fact, in some respects, it's the opposite. In buying a franchise, the purchaser is putting up the money. In buying a business, the seller is putting up the money.
As long as you can get the deal worked out that way, where the owner will take back some of the paper.
Yeah. There's another difference. In buying a franchise, you're dealing with people who are very good at selling.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, people are going into franchises simply because of the overpowering persuasiveness of the sellers. Buying franchises has to be very carefully looked at, and I think the best way to evaluate a franchise is to take some of the operating franchisees that you pick, not that they send you to,
mm-hmm.
go to the people and ask to look at their profit and loss statement.
Right.
see whether those operating units are really making money, because there are more pitfalls, I think, in buying a franchise than buying a private business.
Well, the thing that I say about franchising is I call it entrepreneurial coloring inside the lines. In other words, you get to be entrepreneurial, but within a certain set of parameters that allow you to take risks, but not to have to invent your own wheel. And in some ways, buying an existing business, someone else's existing business, is a little bit like that. You don't have to go out and find the very first customer. They've already found those people for you.
That's right. And for example, the company, the printer here in Los Angeles that does our printing, is owned by a fellow who bought the business from a family that operated it for about 30 years. They simply wanted to retire. He had experience in it. He had worked for a printer. He took it over with wonderful terms. And one thing he is bringing to the company, he's not bringing money because they provided that, but he's bringing energy. It's really, I think, low-hanging fruit for people who are interested in looking into businesses.
Of course.
For businesses that are for sale.
Of course, you're not going to be able to buy most businesses that you would want without having to put something down. I mean, most people aren't. Now, you might can find something where somebody will sell it to you with nothing down, but basically, you're going to have to come to the table with something. If not, at least maybe just working capital for the future. But you got to put something down. But one of those opportunities might be, Phil, a company that's a 20th century founded company that hasn't quite. The owners aren't really quite capable of bringing it into the 21st century. But there is opportunity. But you've got to make that happen. What do you think?
Well, I think that's very true. There are surely businesses that have been started within the last 20 years by people who do not have the e-commerce skills, for example. E-commerce is a wonderful tool now in business, and many people who started businesses 10, 15 years ago don't have a clue what it's about. So buyers can bring new skills and new marketing methods to that business.
Mm-hmm. What is the biggest thing that you think people should pay attention to when they're talking to a prospective seller? What are one or two of the tips that you would give us for something like that?
I would say that the most important thing is, aside from the given that it's a business that you'd enjoy doing, is to be sure that the business has enduring economic characteristics. That it's got some type of a local franchise in the meaning
right.
of a quality product
right.
That's enduring and that they can expand.
But there's some brand goodwill in the community.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. How would we measure that? How would we identify that? Just do some market research.
Yes, you surely would want to be able to be familiar with the business by talking to competitors.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that the first thing I would do in talking to the employees of the business that is to be acquired, finding out what they see as in terms of unfulfilled opportunities.
Right.
Learn the business, talk to other people in the business, work for somebody in the business.
That's a good one right there. But that takes that patience thing again, Phil.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't have that. Hey, Phil, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Enjoy being with you, Jim. Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time. Phil Holland, ladies and gentlemen, that's myownbusiness.org. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.